So I want to welcome all of you again as we join together for our Maundy Thursday worship service. I think I have shared with you in the past that whenever I was a little girl and I heard my dad or other people talking about the Maundy Thursday service, I thought they were saying the Maundy Thursday service. And that was very confusing to me. Like, is this a service that starts on Monday and goes all the way to Thursday? Because when I was little, I thought church was really boring, and a service that lasted that long would be like torture. Or is it a service that we only offer on Mondays and Thursdays and only on certain times of the year? What is this whole Maundy Thursday worship thing going on? But it is not Maundy Thursday. It is Maundy Thursday. Yes, Maundy Thursday. So it's spelled, I know, doesn't it sound like Maundy Thursday? But it's not. It's Maundy Thursday. It's spelled Maundy. And it's related to the same word in Latin that means mandate or commandment. What's a mandate? A mandate is a commandment. It's something that you're supposed to do, or that you're like an order, something you're being told to do. So on Maundy Thursday, Jesus gave his followers, and that means us too, an order or a mandate or a commandment that we are supposed to, and this is important, so you guys listen up. This is the order Jesus gave us. He said, love one another. All right? And that's what we're going to be talking about as we contemplate things this evening. But before we go any further, will you pray with me, please? Holy God, not because of me, not through me, but in spite of me and all of my shortcomings, let your perfect word come to your people. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. So for the past 4 years, a small team of us from our church has traveled to Manassas Baptist Church in Manassas in August for a two-day seminar called the Global Leadership Summit. So I know some of you have attended that with us as part of the team. And I really appreciate the teaching and the instruction and the learning that we receive at that. It is a televised summit. It's actually broadcast out of Chicago. But we get to hear from some really phenomenal world-class leaders and religious teachers and hear some amazing music. And I just come away from that inspired every time I attend it. One of the frequent presenters at the summit is a man named Patrick Lencioni. And if you are a business person, you might be familiar with Patrick Lencioni. He's written a number of books. One of them is The 5 Dysfunctions of a Team, and the other is The Advantage, which is Why Organizational Health Trumps Everything Else in Business. He doesn't write particularly from a religious perspective. He writes much more from a business perspective. But it is about leadership and how things in leadership can impact the life of the church, and I find that helpful. And in one of the sessions that we were at, Patrick talked about mission statements. And before I became a pastor, I spent a number of years in the corporate world, and one of the things I came to dread was the crafting of the mission statement. Because the leadership team would often say, okay, we are going to gather everybody in leadership together, and we're going to sit around conference tables, and we're going to use sticky notes or whiteboards, and we're going to take 2 days or 3 days or a weekend retreat, and after some great team building exercises and maybe that trust thing where you like fall back into somebody's arms with your eyes blindfolded, the trust fall, exactly, we will come up with this amazing statement that will encapsulate the mission of our organization. And one of the things that Patrick Lencioni says is, most of the time, those mission statements are not particularly helpful. Because most of the time, the mission statements are very wordy, and most of the time, they're filled with a lot of insider jargon, and most of the time, although they are very wordy, they're also very vague about what the mission of the organization is. And as an example of that, he shared a mission statement from a company that is fairly well known, or was at least fairly well known a couple years ago. And he left out the name of the company and left out the product. And after he shared the mission statement, he invited people to try and guess what company had developed this mission statement. So I want to share it to you in the same format Patrick shared it with us. He said, blank Incorporated provides its customers quality products and the expertise required for making informed buying decisions. We provide our products and services with a dedication to the highest degree of integrity and quality of customer satisfaction, developing long-term professional relationships with employees that develop pride, creating a stable working environment, and company spirit. Now, Patrick pointed out that he thinks that's an awful mission statement because it's vague, and although it uses a lot of words, it actually says very little. Yet he also said it's very typical of many corporate mission statements, and so he invited us all to guess what company had crafted that. Now, if you were at the Leadership Summit the year that he shared that, and you remember the answer, I ask you not to shout it out. But just, what do you think?
Apple.
Okay, Apple, that's a good guess. Apple. Other guesses? Pizza Hut, all right. I'm sorry, did somebody say Enron? Enron, okay. That's a good guess too. Pizza, that's a good guess. Anybody else want to guess? Silas, can you think of banana? Or, okay, Taco Bell. There we go.
There's a Microsoft back here.
Microsoft, IBM.
Food Lion.
All right. Amazon. All right, any other guesses? Walmart, okay. I'm going to end the suspense here. It was Dunder Mifflin. Now, if you don't remember the television show, The Office, The Office was a parody television show kind of making fun of corporate life in America. And this was the mission statement that reflected Dunder Mifflin Incorporated, based in Scranton, Pennsylvania, the producer of great office products and paper for people in a paperless society. So, needless to say, some mission statements are not particularly effective, but Jesus gave us a very concise mission statement. Jesus kept it simple, and as he shared in his last meal with his closest friends, he gave them a mission. He gave them an order. He gave them a commandment. And it was very simple. Love one another. It was not vague. It didn't use a lot of jargon. He just said, love one another. A new commandment I give to you, love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. If you love one another. It's simple. But simple does not mean easy. It can be very hard, can it? Sometimes it's hard to love. Sometimes it's medium, yes, and sometimes it's hard to love one another. And so I was trying to think of, what does it look like for us to live out that mission statement? What does it look like for us to follow the orders that Jesus has given us? What does it look like for us to love one another? And as I was doing some research, I came up with a list that a group of social scientists had come up with, and they had asked some children what love looks like. These were elementary children, and these were some of the answers that the elementary children provided. And you know, sometimes children are our greatest teachers, aren't they? Sometimes children come up with some really profound things. And so these were some of the answers that they provided. One said, when my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore. So my grandfather does it for her all the time, even when his hands got arthritis too. That's love. Love is when you go out to eat and somebody gives you most of their French fries without making you give them any of yours. Love is when someone hurts you and you get so mad, but you don't yell at them because you know that would hurt their feelings. Love is what makes you smile when you're tired. There are two kinds of love, our love and God's love, but God makes both kinds. Another one said, love is like a little old woman and a little old man who are still friends even after they know each other so well. I'm getting that one. And one said, you really shouldn't say I love you unless you mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot. People forget. They had some great answers. They kept it simple, but simple doesn't always mean easy. Jesus tells us to love one another. And the commandment is simple, but it's not always easy. I want to share one other thing with you. I had a really restless night last night. This has been a busy week for me. And my heart is heavy about my friend Virginia. And there's a lot going on in terms of worship services, and we're getting a piano or we're not getting a piano, and there are details about lots of things going on, and I'm working on three different sermons at the same time, and it was like 1 o'clock whenever I finally was able to go to bed. And I woke up several times during the night, and at 4 o'clock in the morning, whenever I woke up, I just started praying. God, I know I have this worship service tomorrow night. Just please give me the right words that you want me to share at that service. And I fell back asleep, and I slept restlessly, and finally got up at 5 o'clock and thought, this is nuts. I just need to get up and get on with my day. And so I went into the sunroom where I usually do my morning devotions, and I pulled out my devotion book and the suggested scripture passages, and don't you know that every single one of the three scripture passages I was assigned to read this morning had to do with love one another. Every single one of the three passages. And it's not like a lectionary-based thing that I use. It just happened that they were all. And then I looked at the devotional reading, and I'm going to share the devotional reading with you all, because guess what? The devotional reading included scripture passages. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. And the next one said, if I give away all my possessions and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. And the last sentence said, it is not what we give of ourselves or our resources that is the measure of how we love, but it is what we hold back. And that's when I got it. Jesus tells us to love one another as he has loved us. And when Jesus loves us, Jesus holds nothing back. Jesus did not hold back forgiveness. When he knew his closest friends would deny him and betray him, instead he washed their feet and in doing so, washed their sin away. And Jesus does not hold back togetherness or fellowship, even when he knows that the ones he loves will betray him. Instead, he gathers with them around a table and breaks bread with them, right? And shares that bread together. And Jesus does not even withhold his own life. But he gives it up on the cross so that we might be reconciled to God and to one another. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And that's simple, but it's not easy. But with God's help, let us love as Jesus loves. Will you pray with me, please? Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks and praise for the love that you have poured into our hearts and lives. And we ask, Lord, that you will help us share that love with others as Christ has loved us. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.